Calling all nerds. This is More Than Dice, the podcast where we dive deep into the realms of everything nerdy. Whether you're a nerd culture connoisseur, a tabletop titan, a miniature gaming marveler, or just someone who proudly embraces their inner geek, this is the podcast for you. And now here's your hosts, Gonzo, John, and Nerd. Oh, and sometimes Mizzy.
Welcome to another episode of More Than Dice. I'm Gonzo.
I'm Nerd.
I'm Captain Mizzy.
Welcome to our Adepticon review. John is off for the night. And so we figured we would do our Adepticon review. It has been a little over a week or, you know, a week since Adepticon. So, you know, we're all kind of rested.
Recovered?
Recovered.
Rested enough.
We all got hit by the con crud. Luckily, none of us got really sick, so we just con crudded us out. And if you listen to the pre-ramble, you can hear us discussing that. But welcome to that. Hellboob's review is 0 out of 10 because Hellboob could not go.
Gotcha. You know, that sounds a lot like what something Seth would say.
Yeah. So we had a friend of ours before we get anything. That was having really bad FOMO, Seth Cohen. He runs the Boca Brawl. He's a very good friend of mine. We called him on our way there, and he was having bad FOMO because he couldn't go. So he was making posts on the War Machine post that we did because he's a War Machine player. He's like, that doesn't look like fun. That doesn't look like fun. That doesn't look like fun. And it was all a big joke. Somebody actually was like, that looks like a lot of fun. I don't know what's wrong with you. And he's like, it's okay. It's a joke. He's got bad FOMO, and, you know.
Troll's gonna troll.
Yeah. He was trolling, and it was all good fun.
What? We don't attract trolls.
Yeah.
No. So
it was just pretty funny. But welcome to the show. Well, let's go ahead and get all of our business out of our way. We want to thank Muse on Minis for hosting our channel, putting it out there. We've got more channels coming. We'll also discuss that during the podcast. We want to thank Parabellum Wargames, makers of Conquest, where you can see that. Also, Turbo Dork, where you can get their new paints with their new bottles and all their stuff. I'll be showing some of those off during the
sexy
podcast.
Sexy dry palettes like this.
And that too.
Oh, yeah.
We want to thank Midnight Heroes for making of Chibi Games and Chibi Miniatures. Their Kickstarter, I think, is funded, done by now, but I'm not sure. We want to thank Creature Casters, the makers of Judgment, which I did pick up a Dune Judgment model, and also cool paint from the Cuttlefish Colors and other things of that nature, and just all-around badass models that they make, period. I remember my first Adepticon when Creature Caster had a booth that was like a little, like, 6-foot, you know, table, and that was it. And now they're
and
like,
now
a,
look at them.
Yeah, they're like a 30-foot long, and you know, so on and so forth.
I should have sat down at the paint along when I had a chance at the paint along when I had a chance at the Creature Caster booth this year, but I ended up just talking to people instead.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of talking going on. So besides that, we do have some shout-outs. One of our old school, you know, actors passed away.
Lou Gossett Jr.
Lou Gossett Jr. And you know what's funny is John says he's going to watch Iron Eagle in, you know, remembrance of him. And I'm like, Iron Eagle was very much him, but I also remember him from An Officer and a Gentleman.
That was my first thought.
And also another one I didn't think of was Enemy Mine. He was the alien in that, that movie was really, really weird and really trippy at the time. He was 86 years old. They didn't say if he passed away from anything in particular, but, he was a very good actor, very memorable face too, and voice. But my thing that I remember him most from was Officer and a Gentleman when he played the drill sergeant or whatever. And he was badass in that. I mean, he's done things forever, so that was a very interesting one. There was also another one that passed away, and he passed away from a motorcycle accident. Chance Perdomo, He played.
That name sounds.
He played in Generation V, which was the spinoff from The Boys.
Oh yeah, I did hear about that.
Oh my gosh! Okay, yeah, he was on.
Also Sabrina.
Sabrina.
Yeah.
Really? Oh man, I loved his character.
Yeah, he. I guess had a.
He's only 27. Damn.
Yeah, they said he had a motorcycle accident, and he passed away in the motorcycle accident. No big elaboration on it. I remember him from V and Sabrina. I mean, he did some other things. I mean, he was stupid young, so something happened, you know, whatever. But and motorcycles are, you know, they're a deadly thing. You don't, you know, from people and everything. I wouldn't say they're not safe, but, you know, you can get quite hurt on a motorcycle.
You're a lot more exposed.
Oh, yeah. So they did see an article that they're not sure what they're going to do because he was the main character on Generation V. So they don't know what they're going to do with the show. It's been put on hiatus for a while. So they're probably going to figure out what's going on. But that was a very tragic, I mean, because he was very, very young type thing. So super, super sad about that one. Lou Gossett Jr., like I said, I think he was 87.
I forgot that he was. I was just looking this up. I forgot that he was in the original Punisher from 89 and in Jaws 3D.
Oh, yeah.
Enemy Mine.
Enemy Mine is where I also. I mean, he had a completely prosthetic face. So you didn't know it was him unless you knew his voice.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was in a lot of stuff. I mean, so big shout out to them. Let's get to the super important part that everybody is dying to hear about. Mizzy, what are you drinking?
Hydration. Strawberry kiwi. Water. Hydrate.
Hydrate. Nerd?
Peach iced tea.
I'm doing the Captain Mizzy thing where I'm drinking water myself. Still trying to get
this
over
the This is my first not water today.
First not water. So, I mean, guys, here's the kicker about all of this. When we went to Adepticon, I met a lot of influencers and a lot of other people that paint. Met a guy from overseas, Miles. He was a great guy to talk to. We had a lot of good conversations and everything. And it was a lot of, hey, JP.
I have your sticker right here.
There's our stickers.
I have a stack.
Oh, yeah, I have a stack of cards and everything. It was really good to meet all of the, I say influencers is all the painters and everything that streams. I actually got called over to the registration booth because Erica was working the registration booth, and she says, you got to come over to the registration booth. And I'm like, I'm thinking something happened. Like, maybe she's, you know, maybe have a panic attack or, you know, she just needs to talk or something. And no, it was somebody that is a fan of, the War Dice, which was the Warcaster podcast I do with another John, and they're like huge fans, and they were like, can we get selfies? And you know, they were wanting to get selfies with me, and I was just like, okay, sure. But it was nice because a lot of people are like, I listen to you, and I'm like, no you don't. And they're like, yeah I do. And I'm like, okay, that's kind of cool. But I mean, it's interesting to see all that, and it was a lot of fun. So I want to give a shout out to all of our fans and all the people we met. I have a stack of business cards because More Than Dice is going to be doing something pretty soon. We're going to be doing a get to know your smaller independent miniature gamer companies like Relic Blade, Black Sight Studios, just to name a few, because I think we need to highlight those people, and we'll tell you why during the podcast. So a big shout out to everybody that we met at Adepticon. Like I said, guys, please stay safe out there. Please look after each other. If you see something, say something. If you hear something, say something. And if you can do something, do something. If you can't, find somebody that will, because I'll punch somebody in the throat. I ain't got a problem with it. No, no.
We're the motherfuckers that
throat
will.
Jabs. Yeah. Throat jabs and jump kicks.
Yeah. Just make sure you take care of each other. It's going to be something that we need to do now. We got big political things coming up, and I'm going to look after all my brothers and sisters. Cheers.
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 JP happens to work with a small independent gaming company. Well, JP, we're going to be trying to get a hold of as many people as I can to try to set up a bunch of interviews with a lot of the smaller gaming companies, because we don't need to do privateer press. I mean, although I am doing a one-on-one with privateer press employees pretty soon. It's not going to be on the podcast. They're going to be side podcasts. But we don't, GW doesn't need us, privateer press, Infinity. Not that we don't love those, but there's a lot of small independent game companies that make some really good, really good games. And it's going to, it'd be nice to get them, you know, to talk about it and, you know, try to get a little publicity. But
yeah, no, getting Blacksite would be great.
Oh, yeah.
Got some of their stuff. They have so many different pop culture characters in their minis.
Yeah.
Like, I've got their Scooby-Doo, yeah. And I've got two different sets from Fifth Element.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So we're gonna talk with them, get some other people. And if you want to hang out with us, send us a message on Facebook. We'll get right to you.
Join us on Discord, too.
Or the Discord. We do have a Discord. We don't use it much, but we do have a Discord. So let's talk about Adepticon. All three of us went, and we had a blast. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about that. There is, you know, nothing. I wouldn't say there's nothing negative with what we did, but we had a good time, a lot of laughs. But there was, we wanted to talk about stuff. One of the things that happened was we went and got our, they did their, how you got your badges a little different this year. You could have your badge mailed to you, so you didn't have to wait in line, which was good.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. But if you got a badge where you got a VIG bag, you didn't have to wait in line either, really. You had a separate line where you just picked up your bag and left. You know, picked up your VIG stuff and left, which was really good. It made the line move a lot quicker. I talked to a couple of people, yeah. Hank and them, and they were like, yeah, it went really quick compared to last year, which is really good and such. The VIG bags were a bit smaller than last year. They did say that they were going to be different and stuff. They were considerably smaller, but there weren't a lot of big items. There were a lot of smaller items. I got a bunch of cool things, that I went and gave around to a bunch of people, traded some stuff off, but
gave some to me.
Oh yeah. I gave some,
gave some to me,
gave some to everybody. I kept what I wanted. I still couldn't get rid of one of the World War II tank game. I'm going to find someone that I can pimp it to. Oh, that,
or just kit bash it.
Yeah.
Or is it a like a book?
No, it's a whole, it's this Clash of Steel box.
Kit bash that.
I don't know what I'm gonna do with it. I'll find someone that's into World War II stuff. Captain Mizzy, can you take care of that?
I'm working on it already. Okay. Thank you. Because that's what I do.
Thanks, JP.
But the VIGs, I mean, you got your money's worth out of it. Whether anybody says it was more less than what it was last year. I mean, last year, I got like probably $450, $475 in extra stuff. And this one was, I mean, they gave a combat patrol. Those were about $150 right there. So you already made your, you know, your extra money back that you got on it. But it was definitely not bigger items this year, but a lot of smaller items. Things I didn't, I went back to the hotel room and was like, who wants this? Who wants this? Oh, well, give this to nerd, you know, and we did that pretty much.
This goes in the nerd box.
Yeah, this goes in the nerd box that she got. Badges went really smooth this year. Everybody was there to have a lot of fun.
Discord.
If you could send that to me and I'll put that back into the Adepticon. I put it in the Discord area.
The bot for the things.
But let's see. So that there was no problem. We got there Wednesday, and so Thursday it started, and we did all of our shopping. Nerd didn't get there until Friday.
I did all my shopping on Friday.
Yep. But we got to talk about the attendance this year. So the hall that you walk down with a Space Marine, last year they only had like one or two vendors in there. This time, they had vendors all the way down it.
They had like 5 or 6.
Yeah, it was really packed for vendors. And the vendors on the side, right before you got in the vendor hall, those were packed.
Well, in Eldritch Foundry, there was like two. There was one in the vendor hall and one in the hallway.
Oh.
I think.
Got me.
So. At least that's from what I heard people talking about, so.
Yeah, I know that there, I mean, it was, so Wednesday and Thursday was your typical Adepticon. A little bit more people, but not bad. Friday and Saturday, holy crap, it was packed. If you were in the vendor hall on Friday or Saturday, you were walking like penguins almost the whole way. It was very, very tight. Very, very, very crowded. All the halls where the gaming were completely packed. I mean, you were having to walk sideways to get around things. A lot more people. I think they said 8,000 people bought badges this year. And
that's probably where that number came from. And then there was a bunch of other attendees.
There was a lot of attendees that didn't have badges that were coming in. And they're allowed to. It is a free open convention for that. Mm-hmm. I would not be surprised if they got to 9,000 attendees. Or close to it. Because there was a lot of people. I mean, a lot of people. There was definitely, you can tell people were kind of, I got to take a break. I got to move out of the area because there's too many people. Type thing. A lot of people said that there's been a lot of talks where people are saying, hey, they should go to a different place. We don't know contracts. We don't know what's happening. We don't know what's happening. So I'm going to wait. When Adepticon says, Adepticon says. But I'm not worried about it.
They tell me where to show up, I'll show up.
Yeah.
So they made Fort Wapple even bigger this year, too. Plus, they had the game envy lights on every single table.
Oh, yeah.
Which that was legit.
Fantastic, because last year, they just had the little flip-up ot lights, and there was maybe one every other person.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So with the Lucent game envy lights.
Which, we can go and kick off there. We're going to talk about all the stuff we bought. So I bought the Game Envy Lite. There it is right there, you know, at my desk. Nerd's going to pick hers up off the floor since she already threw hers on the ground.
It's not on the floor.
It's just none on your desk.
I'm going to tell you, the bang for this buck is amazing. They were $80 at the convention. They're great. If you want to get a desk light, get this one. It is really, really good. Immediately when I came home, I put this on my desk because I wanted to see it. Mm-hmm. And it's legit. I bought that light. Mizzy, what'd you get from Game Envy?
I got their dry brushes.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, you'll have to let me know what you think of those.
Yes. So it's a pack of 3.
Okay.
Different sizes. So I'm excited to try them out. I love their other brushes that I have from them anyway. So
I've never tried any of their brushes.
I use their brushes. Their brushes are good.
Yeah, I was going to say, I use their hobby holder and their Exemplar wet palette.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Which I picked up last year. I did not pick, because it wasn't in my budget, I did not pick up the new palette paper this year. Apparently, it's supposed to be even better.
It's reusables. You can wash it off. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I have a piece that I still have from Adepticon that I've just been wiping off.
What was funny is they sold out of their lights on Friday. They went over to Creature Caster and got their 6 lights that they had and sold them also. So those lights sold out like crazy. I mean, $80 for a high quality desktop miniature light. Perfect. Can't beat it. Interesting thing, I went to scale 75 because I needed some single paints. I needed some black and whites because I use those a lot, because scale 75 is roughly the paint that I use the most. They didn't bring single paints.
I don't think they did last year.
Yeah, I was just kind of disappointed in that. So I asked one of the local game stores if they'd bring me some, and they did.
I was annoyed at Reaper not having, they had incomplete triads on their rack.
But the Hobby Lounge was completely full.
Yeah, the one in the Hobby Lounge, which is how I found the colors I was looking for. It was the skin tone I was using for the goblin I'm paint I was painting at Adepticon, and I went to go buy the Triad, and they had the mid-tone and the light tone, but not the dark tone. And I'm like, really? You don't even have a slot for it?
Yeah, it stinks. They did make it this year, which was very interesting, because they haven't made it in the last few years.
So close to buying that Baba Yaga hut. So close. That would have been my entire budget. I don't need a third Baba Yaga hut.
Let's see. We did go to Blood and Plunder. And we did pick up the two-player starter box. That comes with two boats.
So what is Blood and Plunder?
I'm guessing
pirates.
It's a historical pirate game.
Nice.
It's a historical pirate game. And so, my camera's going crazy.
Yeah, it just lagged out some ears.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I got a really good surprise face on there. But.
Yeah, it is completely frozen now.
My camera. Blood and Plunder. We didn't do Port Royal. I wanted to buy the Blood and Plunder for the simple fact that I wanted the boats and stuff. And Captain Mizier and I are going to play that type thing. We did go to Turbo Dork and say hi to our friends. Big shout out to them for being our sponsors.
Being super amazing because I left with these. These are their silicone paint stirrers.
I got sent those in the creator pack, in my creator pack. I talked no less than three people into buying them.
Super excited for them because now this means that I don't have to stir my P3 paints with my paintbrush.
The end of your paintbrush?
Yes. Very excited for that.
Let's see if I can fix.
Yeah, somebody also brought up the fact that you could probably use it for sculpting. It's a little flexible, but I could see, like, for small stuff, using it for a little bit of sculpting here or there.
Yeah.
I picked up characters for a game called Rumble Slam.
Oh, yeah?
So we've got Sparkleberry, who is a buff unicorn. This is a tabletop wrestling game. We've got Peyote Pete, who is literally a Cactar from Final Fantasy. And then I've got Maggie, who is Frida Kahlo.
Nice.
They also have characters like Mr. Socko or The Naturalist, which is just Faye Ric Flair. But they've got lots of pop culture references and stuff like that. But it's a game I've wanted to get into and try out because I enjoy wrestling to the point where, yes, I would play a tabletop game of that. It's something different. I didn't get to demo it because they didn't have the demo out on Saturday when I went. Whoop. Now he's back.
All right. I just unplug it and plug it back in.
Yeah. But, yeah, I sadly only got to demo one game the entirety time I was there because of how packed that vendor hall was.
Well, you know what's interesting is they didn't have – you couldn't demo Carnival, which I wanted to demo.
Mm-hmm. That was –
I was upset about that, which is okay. I mean, this was a very, very packed convention.
Yeah,
but
the people who – TT Combat makes Rumble Slam as well.
Yes.
People who make Carnival.
But, yeah, they – yeah, because they bought up a diff. They bought TC Combat's been buying up a lot of older games and such. My camera is not happy with me.
No. Yeah.
So, what else? We stopped by Creature Caster and Judgment, and I picked up a new model. For Judgment.
I looked at the pretty things, and we talked to people.
Yeah, we did talk to everybody. Let's see if I can get my camera to come back up.
We did see Catmaster there, and I have an adorable sticker of Gonzo.
Yeah.
Very excited.
I love Cap.
Yeah, we BS'd with him for a bit and passed stickers and stuff like that. So we got that. But a ton of influencer type stuff. Let's see. I was trying to find powdered pigments at the entire convention. Scale 75 had it
everywhere for that.
Yeah, Scale 75 had it, but only as like, here's our Rust, and you have to buy the Rust package that goes with it. And I'm like, no, I just want the pigments. And we went through huge miniatures, and I got all their powder pigments because Scale 75, they only sell it in that. But all the other companies, AKA Interactive, everybody else, are no longer doing powder pigments. They're only doing wet pigments, which was annoying. So I went to Huge Miniatures, which I've done business with them before, picked up all their powder powder pigments, and picked up these cool, super cool pink flowers that I'm going to be on my undead army. I think I bought out all of them.
I got teal flower tufts last year that they were giving out.
Nice.
I was sad I didn't get to try the Huge Miniatures paint because I went to go try them on Sunday and they'd already packed them up.
Oh, okay. That sinks. I know them. I can probably get you see if I can get you a few to test out. I heard their fluorescent
really good. I take that back. I have two. I have their flax yellow and then a blue wash to try out. So.
So I bought all that.
Go ahead.
Stopped by Relic Blade. I got the one miniature I wanted, and then Captain Mizzy got her fish people.
Yes. The Apostles of the Deep. I am super excited for this.
You know what's interesting is Saturday morning, he was completely sold out. He had nothing at Saturday morning.
This stuff is legit.
I mean, completely sold out. He was also, you know, if you buy one of his books, he does a drawing in the book and says thank you on it. And he was doing that with everybody there. I mean, literally, he even bought double what he brought last year, and he still sold out before Saturday, by the end of Friday night.
He'd have, like, quadrupled that stuff.
Yeah, he's going to have to.
So I went to talk to Goblin Hut.
Uh-huh.
Goblin's Hut. He remembered me from last year because of the goblin sticker.
Yep.
I got the yellow rust, the moss, and the regular rust, and there's a gore coming out.
Yes. I did talk to them.
In the next, like, 3 to 5 months.
Yeah. And he said he wants to talk a sponsorship deal. I said
I'm okay with this. If I can get hands on that gore when it comes out.
he says he's looking for people to, you know, pimp his product. And it's the Dirty Down Rust stuff, by the way. I have some of it. I'm going to be testing it out because I have a miniature over here that I'm going to prime and do a test probably this Wednesday on it to see how it works. Because I want to do it. Because I saw him do it right then and there, and we watched, and I asked questions. And he was like, here, just take some of this stuff and go show it to me. Give me your, you know, your background on it. And, you know, we traded cards and all that stuff. And so we'll see. Probably
did he
Wednesday?
Let you know to vortex it for a minimum 30 seconds?
Yeah. Because if you don't. Yeah, he even showed me one where they didn't and then one they did. And then he showed me what happens if you don't shake it up. Versus, and it was actually very knowledgeable. And I'm looking forward to using this stuff. It looks like it's going to be a lot of fun to play with. Very cool rust looking stuff too. It's not like, you know, just rust color. It's got rusting patterns.
Yeah.
I
don't know what I would like. There's actually have a couple of pieces now that I'd be curious. Like my Vault Dweller Goblin, probably I'll do some rust on her.
And see, that's what I want to do. I'm going to take this miniature that I have. I'm going to prime it black. I'm going to do partial dry brush on one side and then not on the other. And see what it looks like, because he says it works really well on just straight black. But doesn't work really, really well on, like, other things. So I'm going to do testing patterns with it type stuff. And he says if you want to do, like, a metal look, wait till it dries and then paint the metal on top of it so it looks like, you know, it's been shaped or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The weird, interesting thing was Moonstone. Oh, my God.
Those models are amazing, but they're so tiny.
Yes.
They are so tiny.
Yeah.
I got to demo that at DisneyCon with Monster Den minis.
Yeah, I'll tell you right now, like, I picked up these three that I knew that Erica wanted, and I was going to purchase them for, and she can just pay me back. And this guy was
one of them the frog dirigible?
No.
No, that would have been for me.
That would have been for her. this guy was practically crying that he wanted that miniature. He was like, please, can I have that? Please, 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 can I have that? And I was like, well, my friend really wants this. And I was like, I mean, he was begging me to get that miniature from him. I gave it to him. I'm like, are you playing the game or are you just buying the miniatures to paint them up? He's like, I want to play the game. I'm like, okay. Erica just wants him to paint them because she's not going to play. And she can get it, always get it later. But this guy, there was like everybody was buying these miniatures up. They were selling out. Everybody was selling out of Moonstone everywhere for some reason. I don't know what the deal was. What happened?
It's popular. It's a new style of game. It is very different from other skirmish games that I've tried.
Yep.
They have a pug.
They do.
Doug the Fly.
But frog dirigible.
they have a pug and a frog dirigible. So, I mean, sign me up.
Also, I think it's the jackalope.
Yep, there's a jackalope.
Yeah. Yep.
We did stop by Blacksite Studios, and they have a new mech game coming out. I'm going to get them on the show to talk about that. And I want to talk to them about their Lunar game, because the Lunar game is like one of their biggest and most popular ones. One of my last purchases was going to Big Child, and I purchased their new paint set they have.
The Atom paints?
The Atom Smart paints is what they call them. And it's like 12 paints for like $40. I'm like, I couldn't pass that up. I thought it was going to be like 100 or whatever. I talked with quite a few people that use the paint, and they says they're very nice. They're very good and creamy. It would be like right below Chimera is what they're saying. It's below Chimera paints, but better than most everybody else.
So what makes them a smart paint?
Well, that's what we were joking about. We're like, what makes them the smart paint? Well, supposedly they auto level, so there's no brush strokes. I played around with it for about 15 minutes and wet paletted and streaked it out and then tried it on a miniature, dried pretty quickly. So, if you you need a long dry time, you'll have to add some tartan to it. But, they were good paints, and 12 bottles for $40. I mean, you can't
That's
beat
not
that.
Bad.
No. So I was like, yeah, I'm willing to spend $40 to test this paint out a bit more and see if it's worth it. And if it's not, I mean, it's $40. It's not like I'm paying, $400 for Chimera paints, and I don't like Chimera paints type thing.
Yeah.
But I was pretty happy with that.
I was good and didn't get any Big Child creatives because I bought 4 last year.
I did learn how to use oil paints on miniatures. I did take a one-on-one with a friend of mine.
Who was it that you were sitting with for that?
I was a friend of mine, Adam.
Oh, okay. Because there was a few people that were doing that.
Oh, yeah. I sat with a friend of mine, Adam. He plays War Machine, and he hangs out on Monday night streams with the unofficial podcast, the unofficial Hobby Lounge crew for Warfare Weekend, the Fish Tits crew. And
Fish Tits.
He showed me how to use it and gave me pointers. And I have oil paints. I just haven't used them yet. So I did that.
We stopped at Privateer Press and made me a very happy person.
Oh, yeah. Mizzy got her balloon.
I got the battle brick.
I almost couldn't find Privateer Press.
They were sold out of everything. They were
Well, they didn't even have a banner up. It was just on the table. Yep. Like, I almost walked past them several times.
Yeah. They brought a ton of stuff, and they sold out. People were buying it like
Friday.
Gone.
Was dead.
Yeah. They were almost out of everything that they bought. Because we did, Captain Mizzy and I did 2 of the narrative games for War Machine. And we had a blast, by the way. And you know what was...
So much fun.
I think I did 8 demos of War Machine to people that came by because they were seeing all the cool miniatures and the cool narrative sets and stuff. And we just had a blast with that. I will always play the narrative
events. You gave me 2 Troll Bloods, right?
I gave you the Signar model I got in my VIG.
Well, no, I'm talking about these guys.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that's Fire Quill.
Yeah, that's Fire Quill. He's a shooting, Troll Blood.
Okay, and then let me dig the other guy out. Hold on.
And it is most likely Boomy, Admiral Boom.
This guy.
Oh, no. Shadow Tongue.
Okay.
That's Shadow Tongue. Yeah, that was the other one. Yeah, because I had extras of those. So I was like, oh,
okay,
you can have those.
Yeah. No problem. Those will be fun.
Yeah. Yep, pirates. Especially the Firequills got a starfish with a gun.
Did you see mine, nerd?
Maybe? Yeah, no, the starfish with the gun.
Yeah. Gaming-wise, yeah, every hall was packed.
Yeah.
If you're not following us on Facebook and Instagram, make sure you do that, because we've sent out a ton of pictures. Like, our reach, I joke because I was sending it to everybody, our reach increased 983% over Adepticon with all the tagging and the photos we did. X-Wing was still pretty packed, had quite a few people. MCP had quite a few people. Shatterpoint had about 40 or so people. Armada was the smallest, I think, of all that. Legion had a pretty good amount of people. They could have put more people in that. There was a lot of space that was not used. Because AMG had a huge, huge booth for stuff, and I wouldn't say it was wasted space, but it was there, and they could have put more stuff for more games. People were also playing Gonk Races, where you played the old Gonk droid, and it's just a fun, silly little game.
Like Star Wars Gonk droids.
Yeah, yeah, Star Wars Gonk droids. Yeah.
I could get behind that.
Yeah, it was funny, just silly game. Of course, 40K was packed. Relic Blade had like a table running stuff. Conquest was pretty small this year. They only had like two rows, I should say.
Yeah.
They were pretty small this year. War Machine was pretty solid. Battletech was huge. Blood and Plunder was next to War Machine, and they were pretty packed. Of course, Age of Sigmar was packed. Infinity was packed. Malifaux was really small this year. Board Game Library was crazy. People were playing board games nonstop.
Oh, yeah.
Which is good.
It's board games.
I didn't go upstairs and look at any of the places upstairs, like the 30K, the Horse Heresy, and like the... I think Blood Bowl used to be up there. I didn't get up there to see that stuff. I did go up to the vendors upstairs. There was a vendor up there that people were going gaga over, Cat Adventures. And it was a lady that had cat miniatures dressed up, some anthropomorphic and some not. And so they had like a cat barbarian.
How did I miss this?
Oh, yeah.
Hold on. I have a special note about these guys because they have a My Mini Factory.
Oh, yeah, they have a tribe. And so you can get their miniatures, and they're pre-supported, because I asked that.
So it's Adventure Cats by Quanta Minis.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's nothing but cats in, like, as Dungeons & Dragons characters.
They have a cardboard box mimic and a yarn ball mimic.
Yeah.
So...
That's almost better than the Muppet Lord of the Rings set I have coming to me.
Oh, hold please.
It's probably gonna look them up.
Copy. There you go. You're gonna want to look at that.
I mean, they're just a little.
Where'd you send it?
It's in the
in chat.
In chat. In the Twitch chat.
Oh,
because everybody needs to look at that.
I mean, they were good fun.
Oh, yeah, those are by Kana. Okay. Yeah, she streams on Twitch.
Yeah.
I've watched her sculpt. Okay. Yeah.
Adventure Cats.
I saw that she was going to be a vendor this year, but I didn't realize that that's what it was going to be.
Yeah, it was upstairs.
Oh, my God, I love the Arbol Mimic.
What was interesting is there was not a lot of things upstairs, and they I think they need to be publicized a little bit more.
I love going upstairs and visiting Misery Wren. She's got a lot of cool stuff. I've got her mushroom necklace that I got last year, and then this year she added a bunch of new stuff as well. that unfortunately I did not have the money for. However, we did come home with some stickers and some other stuff that Erica picked up, including a Has-Been Hotel Take That Depression sticker. So, super excited about that. I really hope she comes back next year because I need more of her things.
I did not even get to the second floor this year.
Yeah, it's not really well publicized, and you just have to know. Most people go up there for the Golden Demon stuff, but that's about it.
I got to the top of the stairs, looked at how many people, and just went, nope, and went back downstairs. Because Friday and Saturday was just absolute insanity.
Oh, yeah.
Saturday, I had to peace out and, like, find a quiet spot for a few hours, because it was just a lot.
I pretty much just hung out at Fort Wapple in the Peyton Pass. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's see. We did stop by Corvus Belly, you know, Infinity Guys. this is Mizzy's highlight of the year. She tried a demo of Rem Racers, which is their Mario Kart game.
So here's a more accurate description. It is Mario Kart meets Twisted Metal meets board game. I love it so much. I actually got to play it Friday with a friend, and he was like, oh my god, this is great. And we had a blast with it. So you can play up to 5 players at a time, and you get to pick these different characters, and each character has different abilities. So, like, my friend ended up playing with Photon, who has this special ability where you can make your opponent roll double dice for every hit that your guy makes. So it can screw up a person real quick, and then the oil slicks and fireballs, it's fantastic. If you can get your hands on it, do it.
It was very reasonably priced, too. I mean, it's got a bunch of tracks, so you can make whatever tracks you want. And it's got, like, 5 minutes.
For reference.
Yeah. But it was only $50.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
No, $50 for a board game is actually really good.
Worth every bit.
Well, they demoed it last year, and this time is the first time they've been able to sell it. So, it was there.
More people need to buy this. Yeah. I love it.
It was pretty fun. It was pretty interesting. We did that. I did another demo of Warcrow, which is going to be Corvus Belli's miniature skirmish game they got coming out, Fantasy. I've done it 2.5 times is the best way to put it, because I did a watch through and learned and stuff, and then did a demo last year at Warfare Weekend and a demo this year in more detail so I could ask more questions and stuff. And they changed some stuff since Warfare Weekend and kind of tweaked some things, which was good. I'm going to pick it up when it comes out. The pre-order is coming pretty soon. It's played on a 2x2, which is great. You're playing with 7 to 12 miniatures. Miniatures look really good. If you haven't done it, you got to go to the website. They've got
They have a plague doctor.
Yeah, there's a human faction that has a plague doctor. There's another human faction, and the one miniature they show is there's 2 miniatures, and one of them's a bard, and the bard has a falcon. And I'm like, I might just have to pick that up just for that guy. And then there's an orc faction. There is a demon faction, an elf faction, and a dwarf faction. The game wasn't very complicated. It does use proprietary dice and stuff, but playing on a 2x2, and the entire game is going to be a lot of things are going to be narrative based, and they're bringing out narrative campaigns for all of their stuff. Solid.
That's my selling point.
Yeah. Which was a huge hit, by the way. All the narrative stuff. So after Adepticon, you know, I'm in the War Machine and Hordes Facebook group, and everybody was talking about the narrative games more than they were talking about the super uber competitive events. And I'm really liking that a lot of these companies are giving these narrative things for people to play, because you're going to bring in a whole nother crowd. I mean, it's a whole different group of people.
I would probably be more likely to play a narrative than.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not a tournament player, you know. Not that you don't want to play in a tournament, but you're just, that's not your style. You would rather do shenanigans than anything else.
Come on, nerd.
Maybe we
will do the shenanigans together. Let's go.
But I don't know what they're charging for the two player Warcrow, but there is a video on there. Their Adepticon release. It was very interesting. The lady was very fun to watch. I was pretty happy with it. I'm like, that. What's interesting is the terrain I have for Relic Blade and the map I have for Relic Blade can be used in this. So I'm set. All I got to get is the miniatures and the rules.
Nice.
We do have to talk about something. So I'm going to give my overall score of Adepticon. Adepticon was great. I had a blast. It was great meeting all these people, seeing my con friends and family, seeing all this stuff. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I'll go back again. Even with the extra, you know, how many people were there? It was very, very crowded this year. But I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I loved it. We do have to talk about one controversy that went on at Adepticon. And it's not even Adepticon's fault. So we're going to say that this is not Adepticon's fault. This is Golden Demon's issue. I don't know if anybody's known this or anybody heard about this. It's on some of the channels. During the Golden Demon, one entry won gold. And they used AI art for their background. And the guy admitted it. And so he's getting blasted for it. Which, there is no rules against using AI art. But
I've been hearing a lot of people talk about it since then.
Yes.
Yup.
It has been a thing that people are talking about. I have a feeling that the Golden Demon is going to change that ruling. There was also people that 3D printed models instead of using actual GW models, which is kind of a big no-no. I didn't get the full rules on that, but there was...
Does Golden Demon have to be...
Technically, the Golden Demon entries all have to be GW models. Everything has to be GW models. And it's like there's this big controversy and people are blowing it out of proportion. Like, oh, well, I didn't use GW
bases.
Okay, so
that's the difference between Golden Demon and Resin Beast.
Oh, Resin Beast, yeah. Resin Beast is resin. That's just Creature Caster and Conquest models.
Yeah.
And Bestiarium, and there was another one. There's four. I looked it up because I was looking at entry next year.
Okay. All I knew was Conquest and Creature Caster.
So let me pull it up again.
I know Privateer Press has theirs, the P3 Grandmaster.
Yep.
Okay. So Creature Caster, Parabellum Conquest, Eldritch Foundry.
Oh, okay.
So you can design your own minis or Bestiarium game models,
okay,
which is a My Mini Factory.
Gotcha. Okay.
Which I believe is where my friend that won a new category called New Blood, which is for first time entries.
Ooh.
She won Resin Beast's New Blood.
Nice.
I might have to get
with
it on
Beast
that.
Area model.
And then James Walpole took first place with the Dino
his Raptor Riders.
His Raptor Riders.
I don't think I just saw the one that he finished for that Kathy had been working on.
No, that was, that one. He donated that. He finished it and donated that, the Scissorina's Desire, because she was working on that right before and she was going to put that in.
Yeah, I haven't seen his Dino Riders.
Oh, yeah. Well, look on Facebook.
It's up on his page.
Yeah, it's up on his page.
Okay.
They're the Conquest Raptor
Beautiful.
Riders. Yeah, they're gorgeous. And not surprised one bit that he won on those. He actually painted those on stream.
Because he's a
those are fantastic.
Magician.
Yeah, he's a magician.
He is watching him slap down OSL like it's nothing.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah. JP is telling me that the GD Open category allows homemade minis, more like bust and in-universe sculpts. But from what I was told, and what people are talking about is the Golden Demon, not open category, but the other stuff was using like 3D printed stuff. And then the guy used the AI art, and he admitted it too. He wasn't hiding it ever, but he said that his backdrop for his Lizard Rider, which the model was painted great, don't get me wrong, used AI art, but it's causing a lot of controversy within the Golden Demon community. And I get it. They never thought about that. I guess that, you know, hey, we don't allow that, but they may or may not change Golden Demon. And, you know, I know some artists were like, I remember everything had to be painted. You couldn't, you know, do a print.
Print and, anything.
Yeah, you had to be, everything had to be hand painted. So that was going to a bit of a controversy. We'll see what GW does from here on out. It'd be interesting to see if they change up the rules that you can't use 3D printed stuff or AI artwork that, and backgrounds must be fully painted or whatever. So we'll see. There were some gorgeous miniatures in that too. The guy that won had a, and it was an amazing sculpt.
That's the one with the person above and below.
Yeah, it was like a reflection in the water, and he painted another miniature underneath his miniature, so it was like, you know, the opposite side of the world. It was gorgeous. I was like, yeah, I can see that winning.
Yeah, and everybody I've talked to, they're like, nobody questions why that won.
Oh yeah, it was very unique. It wasn't just
it was.
Here's just a guy standing on a rock shooting something. It's like, I mean, because that guy had to hand sculpt a lot of that stuff. And mm-hmm. redo it. So, big praises for them. P3, the Butcher won for the P3. The reflection was just an empty suit of armor.
Oh!
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't catch on to that. That explains it. I just thought it was because of the angle of the photo.
No, it was. Yeah, the reflection in the water was an empty suit of armor, and it was the same exact armor, you know, reposed and everything. So it was really good.
Just without the head.
Yeah, and the hands, because he had some hands sticking out. I don't think there's any other painting competitions that I know of.
I was gonna say the only one that I had was like a little friendly one with like about a dozen people.
Oh yeah,
but no, that was the halfling. I painted mine like a radioactive Oompa Loompa because I only had an hour and a half. So I'm like, all right, we're going black and we're going grayscale and fluorescence.
I didn't hear about the Badger one. JP says Badger Games had one, and I didn't know about that. What else? But I mean, there was a lot. This was a very, very packed Adepticon. They have a ton of stuff. It is the best place to go for miniature gaming. It is always on my list to go to every year. I'm waiting to hear when next year's is going to be. Definitely going to go. I'm going to play a couple of different things next year. If you're listening now, make sure you watch us on Monday and Wednesday, because I know Nerd's going to be working on stuff that she got. I'm going to be working on other stuff. And also follow us on Facebook, because we've got some new things coming on Facebook that we're going to be doing, and some models and some paints. And I got to put together at least 7 more models before we can make an announcement on something Captain Mizzy and I are doing. What else? We played some. We had a really, really good time. And I'll tell you right now, the backpack I bought has a cooler built in the bottom of the backpack.
Did you get the backpack with all the cool covers on it?
No.
Like they have. Okay.
No, this is
that we're in the hallway.
No,
this is a different backpack that he got off of Amazon.
Yeah, what it was on Amazon, and like the bottom half of the backpack or the bottom portion of the backpack is actually a cooler. It's a zip such cooler, and so every day we took a refreezable ice pack and put it in there. And put like our lunch and dinners in there. So we didn't have to, you know, pay for anything. And it worked out really, really well.
I survived off of coffee and kind bars.
Yeah.
So. I survived off of coffee and kind bars the whole time.
But there was, I mean, it was a lot of good stuff. There was a lot of new vendors. The one thing that kind of I was going through, and my thing was to demo a lot of different games so I could see different stuff. And there was like 3 vendors that were doing demos of their game, but they're like, oh, this is not coming out for another year. We're not ready to do our Kickstarter yet. And I'm like,
oh. Why you got to tease me like that?
Yeah, don't tease me. Just give me that stuff and let me just have it. Or have your Kickstarter go off during Adepticon so we can see that.
We are nerds and we are addicted to the plastic crack.
Oh yeah. Did I buy?
I don't know
else?
What you're talking about.
I did pick up the Adepticon cutting mat and rubber mat for doing stuff on, and that was
the hobby
really
mat.
Good. The hobby mat. And so it shrunk down my stuff a bit. Man. Put a bunch of stickers on all my stuff. My water bottle.
I gotta find places for my stickers.
Yeah, I'm running out of space on my water bottle full of stickers.
I got Labyrinth chibis from Impact Minis.
Erica bought me a little chibi from Impact Miniatures. I just can't remember what it is right now, but I know that.
Oh,
I
also
it.
Got the Necromancer. Or Necromancer.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
To finish off my Discworld set, they had a Knack McFeagle, so I got a little Rob Anybody.
Oh,
we also Bombshell Miniatures. Bombshell Miniatures.
I have a little turtle musketeer boy. Aww. He's so cute.
Ooh, hold still. Ooh, tiefling.
No, she's a satyr.
Nice.
This is my first. It's one of their part of their babes collection. I am going to paint that in oil paint. That's gonna be my first oil painted, fill everything. But. One thing I thought was funny is the Adam, they were trying to get people to try out their new paints, the self-leveling stuff and everything, and they were having one of the people I know, Miles, which is from overseas, it's like, yeah, I didn't even know I was painting that until I got here, and so he got pushed over there to paint it, because they were having, Eric Swenson and a bunch of other people test out their paints and show people them using it, and I was like, you know what's really better than having Eric Swenson test out your paints, which I love the guy. He's a great friend of mine, and he's an amazing painter. He's one of my favorite painters in the world. Have people like me test out your paints in front of people, because if I can test out your paint and I can make it look good, then you got a good paint. Eric Swenson can probably make dirt look perfect. He could probably paint with dirt and make it look amazing. No,
you're not wrong.
Yeah. I mean, that's like telling, have James Wapple test out your stuff. James Wapple can make anything look good. Type thing. I was like, if you really want to have... And there was a lot of people that were like, here, come and play with our stuff. All the paints. Creature Caster had places where you can come play with their paints. Adam had...
I want to try their Genesis 1 and 2 base paints.
Yeah.
From Cuttlefish.
Creature Caster, Adam, Army Painter... Top Down had where you could test out that stuff.
Huge Minis did not have tests.
No.
But they did have a wide variety. You could buy single paints for
Yes,
them.
You could. You can buy singles or sets. Turbo Dork didn't, of course, but they didn't do it. But a lot of the big paint companies had those were ones that had where you could come and play with our stuff, which is good. I think that's a very interesting thing that should happen next time. Like, if you were selling a... Because we're in an oversaturated market of paints. I mean, way oversaturated market for paints. I mean, everybody's bringing out a new paint line. Oh, which was interesting. Two Thin Coats was upstairs, and they had a paint and take.
I missed that.
And you could go up there and play with their paints, but you couldn't buy it. I was like, guys.
I was a little upset about that.
It's
why can't I buy your paints?
Because I probably would have tried to pick up Wave 2.
Yeah, they weren't selling their paints, which I thought was weird. But I don't know.
Maybe they're hoping they can push people to the Kickstarter.
Well, the Kickstarter's over.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, it's over and done. Okay. We're waiting for our product now.
Mm.
So I thought it was just kind of weird. I was like, guys, what else was there? There was a group of people that were trying to get me to play an RPG game based off of beer pong, and there was so much beer and alcohol in there that it made me sick to my stomach, and I had to leave. I have no clue what this was. I walked up to, I was walking by, and he says, hey, you want to talk about this? And he showed it, and as soon as I walked up to it, there was just a waft of beer, and I was just like, ugh.
Oof.
Beer waft. Yeah, no.
Yeah, and it just... Mm-hmm. I was like, nope.
It was gross.
I gotta go. I was like, I'm not interested.
I can understand how that would appeal to some people, but no.
Yeah. So, but like I said, overall, Depticon was amazing. We had a blast. Got to talk to a lot of people. Dave Taylor I guess, pimped More Than Dice quite a bit. And we have like three new podcasts that want to produce under us.
Nice.
It was like, I couldn't walk more than 20 feet. We're going, hey, Dave Taylor. It was telling me, you know, about stuff. And people were good old getting me to want to get their podcast out on our network, which is good. I don't have a problem with that. We, you know, we help people all the time. I don't need to help Dave Taylor at all. Everybody knows who Dave is.
Who's Dave?
Who's Dave Taylor? So, I mean, but it was just interesting because I walked up to one of the games and they were like, hey, Dave was there. And he's like, hey, you need to talk to this guy. He needs help. I'm like, okay. Oh, I did try the Halo game out. It's Dead Zone reskinned, but it's on a gridded mat, so you have to use their mat. It was very basic, very generic.
That was from Mantic, okay. Right?
Yeah, it was Mantic game. It's like they just took another rule set and like threw their Halo miniatures on it. It was just very meh. It'll get fans because it's Halo.
Yeah.
So, I mean, big old guys blowing things up. Yep, it'll happen. Let's go ahead and get to our media section. I know we have like 75 things to talk about. One of them, all three of us can talk about.
Yay.
Let's start with that one.
Okay, so when we got back, X-Men 97 was on Disney Plus. This is not a reboot. This is a continuation of the X-Men original cartoon, even completely from the last episode to now. They kept the art style. They brought back most of the voice actors.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. They kept it no fancy, you know, CGI. It was pure X-Men 97 styles cartoon.
Classics.
And it was fucking amazing.
Yes. Nope. Yes. And it was exactly the plot thread that I thought they were going to pick mm-hmm. up with Madeline Pryor and Mr. Sinister and all that. But yeah,
this was like, what makes me want to go pick up an X-Men comic again.
Yeah,
this was very much. I mean, and it's all stupid, cheesy stuff, too. It's like Wolverine, you know, hey, pick me up, throw me 900 feet while I have electrified claws and, you know, so on and so forth. And, you know, I can cut off, you know, the head of
a sentinel
with one swipe. You know, it's all that old style, cheesy cartoons from the 90s and such. It was amazing. It's what was needed.
They picked up right where they left off in the best way.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
There is tons of fun, tons of character, tons of acting, tons
Morph
of action.
Morph is still a goofball.
Yep.
Gambit still refers to himself in the third person, which I'd completely forgotten about, which is hilarious.
JP asks if they're done with the Dark Phoenix and going to move to Hellfire Club. We don't know yet. We've only three episodes in. They're just building it. I would be surprised if this does not get reviewed because this had a 100% positive rating on everywhere that it's been when it first came out, the first two episodes. 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, 100% on everything.
Wow.
Yeah, and I'm sure that there's been some bombing because there's been some woke X-Men.
Oh, no, they put Gambit in a crop top.
Oh, and then Morph has considered himself non-binary. You know, and I'm like, guys, if you don't...
How dare the audacity.
If you don't know X-Men that are...
If you're calling them woke, then you don't know X-Men.
Yeah, because that's all about it. It's what it's been about. It's been about people that are, you know, being judged for being different and everything. And it just cracked me up. But it was great. I loved it. I had a ton of blast watching it. I was like, I'm into this. It brings me back to childhood. Like, oh, I want to read another X-Men comic. I want to see how they're doing
now. I don't skip the intro. I let it play every single time.
Yup.
That was the first cell phone I ever had. When you had to program in your ringtones, that was my ringtone.
Yeah, I mean, it was amazing. I enjoyed it a ton. I can't wait to see the rest, to see more of it. I'm waiting for more episodes, so on and so forth. But X-Men 97, it gets a zero space herpes for me.
Zero.
Yup.
No problem.
Same.
I'll get one that I'm watching. So during while I was trying to get over this thing, I was dry brushing terrain, and so I needed something in the background to do it. And so I put on The Legend of Korra. The
Avatar, the Avatar series.
Yeah. And I still love it. It's a great show. I love Korra. I think it's an amazing. I love the characters. It always cracks me up. And I think that the biggest problem that I think people have with it is that it's not its own unique story, because they bring back too many callbacks from the original series. Mm. Characters like, oh, here's Aang's kids. Here's, so-and-so that was part of this. Here's so-and-so from this. And I'm like,
here's the ancestor of the cabbage man.
Yeah, that thing. And I'm like,
or the descendants, not the ancestors. Yeah. Yes, here's the descendants of the cabbage man.
And I go, I think if they would have done it as a complete whole story and not brought back the people from the original, or even referenced the original people, it'd have been a lot better show. I'm not through the entire series yet. I've seen it multiple times, but it's on Netflix and I can put it on while I'm doing things. And so it's good. I still laugh at all the good parts. I still love it. It's still awesome to watch. I still love the RPG or the game, and I want to play the RPG now because I have a story that I'm like, oh, if I was going to do the Avatar RPG for my friends, I would do this. And I'm not going to say what this is because I might do it as a one-shot and then leave them hanging for more. Type thing. So
not you, no,
not me. Me never. Do cliffhangers? Never, never in my life would I do cliffhangers.
I don't endorse evil at all.
But
nice.
But I'm enjoying
it. I have a player
it.
For both of you. Lies.
I had a blast. I mean, I'm still having fun watching it. Still a great series. No, not giving a rating because it's just good. Mizzy.
I watched an entire season of Upload.
What is Upload?
Oh.
Upload is about this dude who died and you can, like, upload yourself so that you can keep living type thing.
Into a virtual world.
Your consciousness.
Okay. Yeah.
You upload yourself into, like a MMO or Sims or whatever, something like that.
So, I enjoy it. I've watched two seasons of it now and I've started the third. It's just a really chill show. The characters have got some interesting stuff going on. There's this one character that's completely crazy.
Oh yeah.
Like relationship crazy cray type thing. But it's still fun. I'm glad that I waited until all three seasons were out so that I'm behind and I can catch up, because if I had stopped season two with where it stopped and I wouldn't have been able to see the next episode, I would have been upset. 'Cause it didn't end the way naturally. Like, it just kind of middle story. But overall, everything that I have watched, I really enjoy it. It's a nice chill. I just need to sit on the couch and do the thing and chill. So I'd give it a 1.5 right now. But yeah. It's on Amazon if you want to check it out. Yeah. Nerd.
I watched something that was the opposite of chill.
Okay.
It's a documentary about late 90s, early 2000s Nickelodeon called Quiet on the Set.
Yeah.
I've heard a lot about this. I don't know if I can watch it.
It's intense.
I don't know if I can watch it.
It's intense, but also, like, it's an era when I didn't watch Nickelodeon. Like, I watched the... All that was a brand new show. Like, that's what it kind of starts off talking about. It was the era of, like, when all that was created and continued on from there. I watched, like, the early seasons of all that, but anything beyond... I had quit watching Nickelodeon, so it was all new information to me. But it is... It's a look at the showrunner Dan Snyder and his treatment of his fellow co-workers as well as the cast. And then what happened to Drake Bell. Which, yeah. I don't really know how to rate this because it's a documentary. It was very good. It was very interesting, but it is also very intense and can be very triggering for people. So I'll just leave it at that.
Leave it with a content warning.
Yeah, leave it with a content warning. Gonzo?
I watched Code 8 Part 2 because Prince was like, you have to watch it before Adepticon, and I did. It was okay. It's like a meh 2.5. I'm going to give you that. It is a continuation of Code 8 Part 1. But it was like, let's just kind of think of a story and maybe this will hit. Cause it really didn't do much. There was no like great big thing to talk about or whatever. It was just there. It was a meh show. Did it have cool fights? Yeah, not bad. Did they have superpowers? A little bit. But it wasn't, you know, it wasn't like the first one, and it was just okay. But, so I'm going to give it a 2.5, because it was just meh. It's better to...
A solid meh.
Solid meh. Better to stick in the eye, so, I mean, there's that. Mizzy?
I watched Ruby Gilman Teenage Kraken.
Oh, how was that?
It was cute. I really enjoyed it. Krakens are not evil. In fact, they protect you. So, suck on that, mermaids. definitely.
Mermaids are like the bad guys in that, right?
Yeah. Mermaids are the big bad.
She says, well, dolled up like a mermaid.
Yeah, I can be both.
I'm just teasing.
I can be both. definitely more of a kid's show, but it's really cute if you're into that kind of thing. I'd give it 1.5 again, because, like, yeah, that there's some things about it that you're like, they miss some things. But it's about a teenage Kraken, so it's cute. Take it for what it is and enjoy it.
All right. I started watching Renegade Nell.
I haven't started yet, and I want to.
I'm 2 episodes in.
How many episodes in?
I'm 2 episodes in.
I'm done. I completed it.
I did not binge it.
You're an overachiever, Gonzo. Shush.
I binged it because I was sitting on the couch.
I did not binge it, but I binged those 2 episodes, like, gimme, because first I thought that was Hugh Laurie that was playing the magistrate at first, and then realized it was Pip Torrens. But the casting is great. It's well set up. It's funny. The costuming is fantastic.
Yep.
I absolutely hate the bad guy. Like,
he's such a douche.
Oh, such a douche. He's got such a punchable face.
Yeah.
you just kind of want to like rip that wig off and give him a really hard nuggie and then punch him in the nose. I'm enjoying it so far. It's taking a direction I'm curious to see where it goes. In terms of where her abilities come from.
Okay, so I've watched the whole thing. I'm not going to spoil it.
Yeah.
They do talk about that, and they do go around it and do some things and so on and so forth. And it goes in a very weird direction. And you're like, oh, okay, she gets him because of this. Because they show that in the trailer. But then they're like, mm-hmm. oh, crap, we're going here? Yeah, we're going here with this. So there's more to it. For me, it doesn't know about it. Renegade Nell is about a girl that gets superpowers and tries to do good for it. And she gets these superpowers from, like, a pixie or a fairy. So hey, Arta Michael. And she can, like, catch bullets. She can, you know, throw things. She's super, super powerful. And
throw people.
And the comedy joke that goes through it, and you see it at the very beginning of the trailer, it's like, don't call me Nelly, call me Nell. And that's a running gag.
Everybody calls her Nelly.
Yeah. And it's a running gag through the entire thing. I had a blast with it. It was very good fun. Was it Oscar-winning performances and so on? No. Was I expecting that? No. Was it good fun and you hated the character you're supposed to hate and love the character you're supposed to love? Yes.
Yes.
Was it very, very interesting? Yes.
Perfect. Is the production good? Yes.
Yes. Costuming was great.
Is the stunt choreography good?
Yes. were they out on locations? Yes.
Yes.
I enjoyed the hell out of it. I thought it was a good, fun blast. I'd like to see another season.
It's set in, what, like the 1700s?
Yeah, it's.
I was trying to guess based on the costuming and the wigs. And
They tell you exactly when it is.
Okay, I missed it.
Yeah. But, I mean, it also has some political struggle stuff that's in there based on the time period, the Jacobites. And things are going on. It was a lot of fun. The comedy was where it was supposed to be and was appropriate. There was some pretty interesting. The fight scenes are great. They're always fun.
Yeah.
I
also like her friend, the Highwayman.
Oh yeah, he's great in this. He's a lot of fun.
I first saw him in another series called The Essex Serpent, where he plays this very. Like arrogant, like soft arrogance, mm-hmm. I guess I would call it. But this is a very different turn in comparison, and I'm enjoying him greatly. And the girls who play her sisters are also delightful. Georgie.
Yep.
But yeah, I give it like a half, 0.5.
Yeah, I would agree with that. 0.5. It's been a lot of, it was a lot of fun. It was a good, even keel. It wasn't, you know, any down moments. There was a lot of good character building.
It's paced well.
Yeah. I have no issues with it. You know, the half is maybe because it's like, what? I wasn't expecting that. And you get to see this, things that are coming out. Cause this is not your average, you know, highway robbery movie or TV show.
Yeah. Like is it fun? Yes. Like you said, is it Oscar winner? No. So that's why I say half. So
it is well worth watching if you have Disney Plus.
Yes.
Go watch it. I mean, there's so many good shows out there that people aren't watching because they aren't like, they're not Lord of the Rings production values. And I'm like, this one had great production value, great costumes, everything. Go watch it. I mean, it was a ton of fun. I enjoyed the hell out of it.
It's a good period piece.
Oh, yeah. Mizzy, do you got another one?
I don't know how to rate it because of the movie that it is, but I watched Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Yes! that's a 0. Absolutely.
Because you know what you're signing up for when you start this movie.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, I watched that Thursday because it was just a chill night at home, and it was my birthday, and I was like, I want to watch something fun. So I did.
You've seen it before, right?
Yes.
Okay, just making sure. I was like, is this your first time seeing it? Because
no. I have watched it before. The shenanigans.
Shenaniganizing.
Yeah.
Yes. So, yeah.
Nerd.
All right.
Do you want to talk about Damsel?
I will get to Damsel last. I'm going to quick in the same boat of watching things that we know and love. Robin Hood Men in Tights.
Tight.
Yes. I mean, Mel Brooks classic. I love a good Robin Hood story. It's goofy, silly, shenaniganizing. So, yeah. I give it 0.
Love it.
Gonzo?
My last one, and I haven't finished it. I just started it, but this is a show I have to stop and watch. I can't do something in the process. And it is Three Body Problem on Netflix. And it is a TV show that was in China, and we've taken it and made it to our own. And pretty much what it is, there are these people that see this countdown in their vision, and it has to do with like alternate realities or aliens, like the stars flash in and out in the sky. So we don't know what's going on. It has a lot of math and a lot of science behind it and all this other stuff. So I'm only like 2 episodes in, and I'm like, I have to sit and watch this. This isn't a show that I can listen. This isn't a show that I can just do something else, because they are very, here is the story. Watch this.
That's how I feel about The Expanse.
Yeah. You can't listen to this show. You have to watch it. There is some subtitles because there's, you know, different voices and everything. I'm liking it so far. It's been interesting and different. It's very much, I would say, a thinking person's TV show. But once I get through it, I'll give it a rating. But so far, I'm enjoying it. It's got me enthralled enough where I have to, like, stop. ADHD is gone. I have to pay attention to this. And I like that. When a show makes me force themselves to
hyper-focus?
Yeah. Then I'm in for it. Because very few shows do that in my life. One of the other ones that did was Hannibal, the TV show. That was a show.
Oh, Hannibal is so good.
Yeah,
I binged that during quarantine.
Yeah, but it's one of those shows that you have to pay attention. You have to watch. So I'm interested because there's all these what questions or what the fuck's going on? Why are we seeing this? Why isn't this doing? You know, all these questions type thing going on. So I'm gonna enjoy that. I'll probably try to finish that this week and see how it goes. Mizzy Nerd.
Okay.
Nerd.
Damsel. Yes. I watched Damsel today. I thought it was fun. It was a very simple story, which I appreciated. They didn't overcomplicate it. The CGI on the dragon and the art design, the character or creature design for the dragon was, I enjoyed. It wasn't your big bulky dragon like you see a lot of the time. It was long and slender, not like noodly Asian dragons, but like almost cat-like.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed it. I hoped, I at the conclusion, I wanted better revenge, but it's also like just a PG movie. But no, I thought there was a little too much screaming for my liking, but otherwise I give it like 1.5.
I'd agree to that. Yeah. I thought it was really good. There were some parts that I was like, yep, I saw that coming, but
yep. And some,
I wasn't mad about it.
And some very obvious green screen moments.
Yeah.
Very much. There's a lot of green screen. And not very many. It was a lot of sets.
Yeah.
The only ones that weren't sets is when they were outside. Mm-hmm. And that was pretty much about it.
I was surprised to see Angela Bassett in that.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't bad.
It wasn't bad. It was enjoyable. I watched it with my nieces and nephews this afternoon. And then we ate too much food and I fell asleep. Gonzo, you got any more?
That was all of mine. But we do have some stuff coming up, guys. We got there's a few people that did ask about producing under us and helping us get their podcast out. And it's going to be not like Battle Reports. It's just other things. Like one of the guys in the movie industries, and he was like, "I talk to people in the movie industry about stuff," and I'm like, "This is, I we're all the same thing. We're not family friendly for the most part. I mean, we do cuss and everything, mm-hmm. but it's appropriate. And I mean, you know, as long as it's that and nothing, you know, sexist or, you know, the obvious stuff, we don't have a problem with it. And so we've got a couple people that want to produce underneath that. We'll be sending out emails next week, or technically this week since it's Sunday, to everybody that wants to do a podcast. JP, if you got something, just send it to me on Facebook. I have to go through all my cards and all the companies and send this. Hey, this is what we do. This is our, you know, thing. We would like to talk to you for about your game or company or product or whatever, and have you on. Because we want to, you know, we want to get stuff out. And like I said, we're going to do a series. I'm working on doing a series on, and it's not going to be on the podcast. It's going to be a single thing where I'm going to be talking to all the Privateer Press people. And then I'm going to, we're going to do a, you know, small miniature game company type stuff and get them on and talk to them and do a podcast with them. Because we want to showcase some of these smaller companies that are doing really good work. Type of stuff. But
Relic Blade and the Fish People.
Yeah. Sean Sutter was really nice, by the way. He was a very, very nice and sweet guy.
Yes.
What else? I had a blast at Adepticon. It was really nice to see all these other people that podcast or stream or hang out, that, you know, do things. You never get to do everything you want to do. Because it's just too much. You have to figure out what you want to do and stick to it for those days. Yep. I wanted to go sit and hang out in the Hobby Lounge and paint and chill and hang out with people, but that was not possible. I wanted to play Battletech. That wasn't possible. I wanted to play some other games. Just wasn't possible. Also, one of my big things that I think you need to do, if you are on the waiting list and you're still going to Adepticon, go find your event and show that you're on the waiting list, because you'll most likely get in. Judgment had 5 people not show up, and nobody showed up on their waiting list, and we could have played if we would have brought our miniatures.
Dang.
And I was like, but they had a huge waiting list, and
my consolation to that is I wasn't painted.
Correct, I wasn't painted, and I wasn't going to have it painted, but I was like, dang it, I could have, you know, I could have played if I
had forced myself to do the thing.
You know, I would have been able to do it. But there was a lot of people that just didn't show. And so they're like, well, you know, go to it. Especially, I know artists, they sell out so quickly. I had heard quite a few people saying, hey, I'd like to go take lessons from this guy, but I never can get into his class because they sell out too quickly. I'm like, there's nothing Adepticon can do for that. That's not an Adepticon problem. That's just popularity of the people.
Yeah.
And the artists, I'm sure the artists are doing not only one class a day, but 2 classes a day in some parts. And there's just not enough time and not enough things. Just go find where that artist is somewhere else and go to that one. Type stuff. But I mean, if you really want to get into something, you immediately go get it as soon as it comes out. Don't wait a day. Don't wait an hour. Don't wait 2 hours. Immediately that day. It also saves space. It also lets them expand space if, like, there's a wait list of 10 people. Adepticon wants your money. Don't get me wrong. They want your money. So they're going to take your money and expand events to bigger, you know, venues or whatever. So get on the waiting list. And then if you don't get it, okay, you're not out anything. But make sure you sign up. I'm going to tell you that now. If you want a miniature game, make sure you sign up.
Yeah.
Other than that, it's kind of like Adepticon. Go. If you can go, go.
Do it.
It's the one convention I will always go to every year.
Ooh. Next week, we will have new emotes. I have them. I will send them to you, Gonzo. Okay. I have the files. But we've got new emotes.
Yay.
They look amazing.
New stuff to spend money on.
Thanks.
Thank you, Red Straw Baby.
Yeah, we've got new emotes that we've been trying to do to get it out there so people can get new cool stuff from us. So you have to wait and see them. So, guys, we're going to get out of here.
Or if I send them to you, maybe we can have them for tomorrow.
Depends on how much you pay me. You going to pay me a ton of money? Nerd's like, I'm not paying you anything.
Nerd's like, I'm like, oh, I guess
money?
I can
what?
Upload. Maybe
empty
I can
pockets?
Upload them. I have to pay you to upload a file? All right.
Pay me all the monies. Guys, we're going to go and get out here. Yeah, we're going to send you to Monster Den Minis. He's doing some painting up there, so we'll send you to him. As usual, guys, as always, make sure you look after each other. Make sure you check out each other. Make sure you just send like a hey or a hi or whatever. But make sure you check on everybody. This world is a fucked up place. We got to make sure we check in on each other. So if you see something, say something. If you hear something, say something. If you can do something, do something. If you can't, find somebody that will, because we want to see you at Adepticon or any other convention next time. For More Than Dice, I'm Gonzo.
I'm Nerd.
I'm Captain Busy.
Good night.
Thanks for listening to More Than Dice, making the world a better, nerdier place, one dumb joke at a time. Be sure to subscribe wherever you heard this podcast so you never miss a future episode. For more nerdy action or to connect with your hosts, check them out on facebook.com/morethandice and twitch.tv/more_than_dice. Until next time, stay nerdy, stay proud, and we'll see you soon on the More Than Dice podcast.